Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Before we take a look at the readings for today, let me first of all just say happy Pentecost to you. May the Holy Spirit fill your heart, your mind, your spirit. May He lead you into the fullness of truth. May He show you who you really are. He will, if you ask Him, show who you really are as a son or daughter of God. You have infinite dignity. Please don't forget that. You are, as Paul tells us, a temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit dwells within you. Your whole life is meant to be an act of worship and praise and thanksgiving. We're pretty far from that, aren't we? But that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, to restore us to the dignity that has been given to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You are a tabernacle of the Most High God. Is your life in accord with that truth? Or are you just putting on external show? Or are you not even doing that? Do you go to church? Do you worship God? Do you serve other people? Take a look at where you are and take a look at where you could be. The dignity that is yours, the infinite value that your life is, apart from anything you do. It's who you are. It's the presence of God in you that makes you son or daughter. Please, please pay attention. We look today in the first reading from the letter of St. James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Beloved, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show his works by good life in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Wisdom of this kind does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. No, we think about how can I show myself off to the best advantage? It's by putting other people down. That's just born out of evil. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, this reading says there's disorder in every foul practice. So if you're giving into jealousy, if you're giving into selfishness, what you do is you pollute the house of God. You dim or you extinguish the presence of God. But it is the Holy Spirit. If you allow Him, if you give Him room, it is the Holy Spirit that can enable His life to dominate in yours and to cast out all that is evil, all that is unworthy, all that is wrong. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. If there's not peace in your life, examine yourself. Why is there not peace in my life? What's going on? Am I living out of the wisdom that comes from above, that's peaceable and gentle and compliant and full of mercy and good fruit? Or do I have inconstancy and insincerity in my life that at least dulls the presence of God, if not extinguishes it? Take this passage from the letter of James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Take it and discern it yourself. Walk through those verses, all of them. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. Boastfulness, which is pride. False to the truth, be false to the truth. Liar. All those things come out of the pit of hell. And as I said many times in the last few days, they at least dim, if not extinguish, the presence of God in your life, depending upon how serious it is. The precepts of the Lord, says Psalm 19, the precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. Really? Really? Once you know God and you allow God to dwell in you, and in a certain sense, your life becomes a temple, and this is real. This is not just an imaginary fairy tale. This is real. But we so often just, oh, well, I don't know. If we can't see it, hear it, touch it, taste it, feel it, it doesn't exist. It's not real. That's not who God is. God reveals himself on another level, not through your senses primarily, though the senses may have an effect. But it is in faith that he reveals. That's why praying for faith is so very, very important. Everything, pray for faith. The wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruit, without inconstancy or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Do you cultivate peace? When people are around you, are they more peaceful, happier? Does it bear good fruit being in your presence? The more you are decreasing and the more you are allowing God to shine through your life in your thoughts, your words, your actions, oh my goodness, you will have an effect on others. Psalm 19 tells us the precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The commandments, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord, that means to reverence him, is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. Let the words of my mouth and the thought of my heart find favor before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. How many times have I talked about the commandments, and I just underscore it. The precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, give joy to the heart. They really do. If you embrace them and live them, your life will change. At best, we're into picking and choosing. What you want to be is, Lord, if these commandments lead me to union with you, and they do prepare the way, I want them. Can you say that? God wants you to be able to say it, and the Holy Spirit will help you be able to say it. Now we look at a very familiar gospel to us, Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. As Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John, this was after they had had the vision. Remember, the three booths were there, and all these Old Testament figures reveal themselves. Moses, Elijah, they revealed themselves. And these, some of these weak apostles, they saw it. They saw it and they heard. They heard the conversation, but they saw the power. And now it says, as Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John and approached the other disciples, he only took those three with him. They saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. They ran up to him and greeted him, and he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I have brought to you my son possessed by a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. Ask your disciples to drive it out," but they were unable to do so. He said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. As he fell to the ground, he began to roll around and foam at the mouth, and then Jesus questioned his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Have mercy on us. Help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible to one who has faith." Look at that. Everything is possible to one who has faith. Now, doesn't mean you have to rev your faith up in one glorious moment and heal somebody, though God sometimes does that. But what it is, brothers and sisters, is in every action, every thought, every word, action, Holy Spirit, work through me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, help me. That's faith. That's an expression of faith. Help me. Give me words. Inspire me. That I can bring hope. I can bring healing. I can bring restoration. Or I can bring wisdom and good counsel. Help me. Pray that way. And God will hear. The boy's father cried out after Jesus said, "Everything is possible to one who has faith." And then the boy's father cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." That's a very good prayer. I do believe. I make a decision to believe that you are who you say you are. I do believe. Help my unbelief, my weakness, my doubt, my fear. And Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible to one who has faith." And then the boy's father cried, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." There it is. There it is again. "I do believe. Help my unbelief." And Jesus, on seeing a crowd rapidly gathering, rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, "Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. And when he entered the house, his disciples asked him in private, "Why could we not drive the spirit out?" And he said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer." Now, you say, "Well, gee, everybody was praying." No, a life of prayer, a way of living, that you are in close communication to God. You are strengthened by God. You're given gifts by God. You're seasoned. You're mature. Then God can use you. And some very chronologically young become very seasoned and very mature early in their lives. And others, it takes time. So you don't pay attention to every person on the street corner carrying a sign. But you do pay attention, brothers and sisters, when people are suffering greatly. Sometimes you have to be extremely careful of this, of making any kind of judgment, which you can't do. But sometimes there is something evil that causes this child, not that the child is evil, but somehow evil has gotten into a life of a particular person, maybe through another member of the family, maybe through other sinful things that they're indulging themselves in. It could be all kinds of ways, but evil spirits can come and they can be cast out in the power of the name of Jesus for his glory. Learn how to do it. Don't take it on with learning how to do it. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.